question for you, alright. I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright. The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the show where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of this show, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, bass guitar player, and surf watcher, Daniel O'Brien. Joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I am also not a surfer. I talk to a lot of people on the lines about it because I have a North Shore shirt, like a Hawaii North Shore shirt that's from a board shop. And they're like, oh, you surf. And I'm like, I tried it once in Costa Rica and almost drowned. So I don't do that. I'm not a water sports guy.
I live on the beach, famously, and there are surfers there all the time, and I just watch them, and as someone who lives on the beach, you frequently get asked if you surf, or if you've ever wanted to surf, or are you? Why don't you, hey buddy, you don't have a job right now, why don't you,
why aren't you learning to surf?
This is a thing you could do, and I've never had any interest in it, because I know I'm going to be very bad at it. Sometimes you could tell something where it's like, no, I'm going to be bad at that, and I'm going to be bad for a long time, if I ever get good. And I'm, like all of us, dying. And I don't want to use my time. Like, I'm already committed to being bad at golf for a very long time until I'm good at golf. Why am I going to pick another activity where it's going to be 900 hours of being bad?
Yeah.
Until it's
And I don't
fun.
Know that you actually get good at the end
I might
of that.
Not. Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say. It's very similar to golf in that respect. In that it's like, the learning curve is just a wall.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's so steep, that learning curve. And when you, because there's all these elements to surfing, like you have to account for. Getting up on the board is such like a minor piece of it, but a very important one that's like very hard to do. And I have a background in snowboarding and skateboarding where I'm like, oh, I could, this will be like an easy transition. I'm so fucking bad at surfing.
Yeah.
Because I can't read a wave. I'm like, I grew up in a landlocked state and I don't understand water. And I don't understand how to like get into a wave. So like I can get up on the board, but immediately like either the nose dips in and I'm dead or I miss the wave. Like I sit on top of it and it just sort of like passes me by and then I sink. And no matter how hard I try, like, I can't figure out, like, that element of it is, like...
Yeah, and it's not like other things. Like, if you want to learn how to surf, you will have that first day where it's like, you're just going to learn how to get up on the board. We're not even going to go in the water. We're going to practice on land. It's like, oh, well, that's not a fun day. That's a stupid day.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to get into rock climbing and you're at, like, an indoor rock gym with a harness and everything, you'll spend a little bit of time on instruction. But, like, guaranteed, by the end of, like, you're going to do some climbing.
Wait, the first 7 minutes, like, you're going to get on the wall.
You're going to, like, do the stuff, and it's going to feel like climbing and look like climbing, and you never have to do it again. You won't be great at it, but, like, you're guaranteed to feel like a climber for a day. Surfing, there's no guarantee that you're going to.
It's true. I mean, and with golf, like, the idea of you stepping on a golf course if you don't know how to play golf is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, you have to... Like, you got to go to a driving range first so you don't embarrass yourself. And so it's not, so that it's at least fun once you get onto a course. But like, you can't just go onto a course and play. That's a crazy thing.
No, yeah. I've been doing more golf now, going to like pitch and putts and driving range. And it's still, I'm not good enough for it to be fun yet. And it's like, it's the only thing in my life that I do where it's like, well, there's 2 hours that I didn't have any fun. And I paid for it, and I did it on purpose.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I felt pretty bad about myself today out there.
And it's like, the worst part is, like, you can, as you progress into, like, a worse state. Like, you can, like, you start getting really good, and then as soon as you'll hit something that's just, like, whatever, something's weird about your swing. You unlock something new, but, like, you fuck something else up. And now, like, you're way lower than you were before. And you're like, well, if I could just go back to where I was, like, I wasn't crushing everything to the right back then. And it's such a deeply frustrating game. And surfing, I think, has got to be like the same way. Like I've got my meditative shit. I don't need another like thing where I have to be very, very practiced at it before it's something I can do mindlessly.
It's, I take comfort in the fact that I'm not, it's not one of the things where I'm jealous of the people who are doing it. Yeah. There are plenty of things like that where I am jealous and I wish I'd put the time in. My attitude is very much good for you guys. I bet this is fun. I love being in the water. I love being in nature. It seems very meditative, like you said. God bless. Enjoy it. It's not for me. I'm gonna run or like do actual meditation or.
It is interesting that you brought up bass guitar at the beginning of this because it's similar to that. It's like getting good at bass. It's such a that's not an instrument, first of all, that you just play by yourself and it sounds like.
Did I bring up bass guitar?
Yeah, you said bass player.
Man, I don't even listen to me when I'm doing this show.
You said bass player, and I was like, oh, yeah, Dan is a really good bassist.
Oh, thanks,
bass
man.
Is like a tough instrument to learn because you're not any good at it at first.
Yeah.
You got to, like, figure it out. You got to figure out, like, the finger picking and stuff. And then like, you got to, like, basically start stretching your left hand.
Yeah.
Because your left hand has to be able to stretch further than your right hand because you got to reach all those large frets. And then playing bass by yourself sucks. Like, it just objectively sucks, and especially when you're just beginning. And you can't, you need like a band to play along with, but you can't be in a band to play along with until you learn the instrument.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's this whole period at the beginning where you're just like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Like, figuring shit out. And
hang on. Do that again. Gabe, record this. Start recording right now.
I was just. In my mind, dude, that was like the very first slap bass riff that I'd learned.
I'm so lucky and grateful and thankful that I learned how to play bass much, much younger. Like, that's the way you got to do. That's got to be golf. It's got to be surfing.
Yeah.
When I have kids, if they have any interest in anything, I'm like, yes, be shitty at it now. Get that out of the way now, because when you're older, you'll have pride and you won't want to do anything that you're shitty at. Just be really shitty at this instrument for a couple of years. And then when you're older and you could do it and it's fun, you will forget this time. You won't remember being a shitty bass player alone in your room at 12 years old. That time is gone to you. Now you're just like a fucking one of those cool bass players, you know, like Flea, or a second example of a bass player.
Les Claypool. Oh, I think we have time for this. I have a really quick story for you at the gym.
Sure.
Where I...
Wait. Did that pick up?
I heard it from here.
Great.
So I was at the gym, and as like on my way out, I was going down the stairs of the gym, and this guy comes up, and he's got on a t-shirt that has a little Ween emblem here. And a Ween emblem, like the emblem of Ween is just this smiley face with like crazy hair and like a very funny, weird teeth.
Ween is a band.
Ween is a band. Ween
that's,
is a band.
That Soren likes. They're a very alienating band that I think wants to upset their fans often. I think
they're just, they like to explore different genres of music. I think they're one of the most eclectic and like prolific bands there is. Mm-hmm. They are. And, like, there are, I will admit that there are Ween songs I can't listen to.
Right.
But there are also, like, Ween songs that are, I think, are some of the best songs ever written. And so I love Ween. And I am fully there for, like, the songs where I don't get it. And I'm like, no, you're on some other plane and I'm not there yet. So I trust that you're making good music. I just I don't care for Poop Ship. And so they have a song called Poop Ship Destroyer that sucks so hard. Am I selling Ween to you? And so this guy comes up the stairs and he's just got a little Ween emblem on his shirt. It's just a smile, like silly looking smiley face. And on the back, there's a pentagram with a horse in the middle, because they're also like really into demon horses for whatever reason. It sounds so objectively crazy.
They're into demon horses. Like that's a type of person. You ever one of those kids in school that was always talking about demon horses? Were you, a unicorn girl or a demon
horse?
Yeah,
there was horse girls and then there were like demon horse girls. And so he comes upstairs and I was like, I passed him on the stairs and I was like, I got to talk to him about Ween. So I went back in and I was just like, I just want to say I like his shirt. So I go and I tap on him. He immediately thinks he's like, oh, you were on this piece of equipment that I'm sitting on? I'm like, no, sir, your shirt. And he's like, oh, it's a band. I'm like, no, I love Ween. And he was like, you know Ween. And I was like, Ween is my favorite band of all time. And he was like, I'm their photographer. I travel around with them on tour and I take all of their pictures. I do it with this other band called Primus. And I was like, Yeah, dude. I know that band.
this other band called Primus. Buddy, I name checked Ween based on your shirt.
And he was so psyched that I liked Ween. Because he's like, usually I run into people and they're like, what is that silly little face? And I was like, how do we like exchange information? Like, how do I now use this to meet Ween, basically, without saying that? And I got his name and stuff, and I was like, all right, I'm going to check out his photography. And I think I have. Like, I think I've looked at Ween photos in the past. I've been like, look through their tours and stuff, just because it's really hard for me, but I can't stop doing it, looking at Gene and Dean Ween aging. but it was really cool. Like, this guy was intimate with Ween, and I was like, this is a real moment for me.
That's great. I hope something happens there for you.
His name's Billy. Billy, reach out to me.
Cool. Let's do a strike update.
Oh, please.
As of this recording, it's 101 days of the Writers Guild striking. That's our union. We were both on the lines yesterday because I'm out in LA right now, and we got to celebrate day 100.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, what do we get? Tacos and margaritas was a little strike gift for us.
Yeah, margaritas is a terrible idea. Big swing from the studio, or not from the studios. It might have been from the studios, because that's like a very sabotaging thing to do. But like bringing alcohol to the lines where it's like 92 degrees out there is such a mistake.
And it's like, I've been really impressed and appreciative by the restraint of people to not be drinking on the lines. Because you totally could just have like a canteen of whatever. But I think everyone is like, no, everyone knows intuitively we can't be drunk on the lines. We can't be disruptive or a problem. And so as soon as margaritas came out, I thought, this is going to change things for people. People are going to be like, this is better when I'm a little bit drunk.
There's something, I mean, you're absolutely right. It does have like a social feel to it because you're meeting new people constantly and you're talking, you're just chatting about whatever and you're walking around. It feels so much like a bar crawl.
Yeah.
But there is something deeply sad about showing up at the lines and you have a hydration flask that is filled with alcohol and you're not telling anyone. There's like, that's a problem.
Yeah, certainly. but it made me think, I was very... We get little like snacks and treats on the lines all the time, and it's always fun to learn who they're from. We were in New York protesting, and it was for Union Support Staff Solidarity Day, and someone came up and gave a speech. And they're like, "All right, and everyone, thanks for coming out. There are burritos and smoothies from Questlove," and it's that makes sense because it's New York, and Questlove works on the Tonight Show, and like you'll often get like famous people doing things like this. All the late night hosts got together to get trucks for various strike days. It was like, here, there's waffles and ice cream from Seth Meyers or whatever. It made me think this is a really good opportunity for any rich but random celebrity to be like, everyone, there's sushi here from Rick Springfield.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It'd be so easy to like, just like get your name out there again.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. If you find out that like Rebecca De Mornay gave you Yeasty Boys, you'd be like, I loved her in Risky Business.
Yeah.
Let's find out what she's doing.
I would, if I was like a slightly more well-known celebrity, but also very petty, I would use it as an opportunity. Like Noah Wiley sent us 900 hamburgers. Is he doing that great? Like just as a big swing to let people think that you're doing really well.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I wonder what I could afford.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not much given that this is day 101, but like, I wonder if there's something I could figure out that is big impact on the lines and people would be like, and Soren Bowie brought us 12 bagels. So that's something.
He says, there are instructions, it'll feel like 24 if you cut them in half. So,
well, that's nice. That's nice of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
I wonder if I would like to donate. I wish I could think of a thing that is not food or beverage that people don't realize they want. Like, donate 10,000 yo-yos. And people are like, this is fun. I'm glad I didn't have anything to do with my hands before. And now this is like passing the time at a streetlight. This is good. I like this.
Yeah. If you could get some sort of like Leonardo sigh holder for the back, and you could just put your sign in it.
Sure. Oh,
you
yeah.
could
yeah.
create that for people. Oh, I think they'd go nuts for it. Or I could do like a, today's the day I'm cutting the sleeves off all of our WGA shirts.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty great. And then we're all sleeveless.
Yeah.
Because that's been something I've been dreaming of for a while.
Certainly.
It's so hot out there in the WGA shirts. I don't know what it's like in the East, Dan, but in the West, we've got these... royal blue WGA West shirts that are, if you wash them, they like, they shell up. Like they get real tight. All the threads in them get really tight and they don't breathe and they just get starchy. It's like weird and they're tough. And they, when you wear those around, I was wearing a name tag one day over one of them and the name tag just fell off from sweat. And there was like a little square of sweat right there where my body was just like, get it off of me.
This is my first strike shirt.
Oh, is it? How's that one feel?
Not good.
Yeah.
It's pretty uncomfortable. They gave it to me. It's actually from the 07-08 strike.
Okay.
And they were very proud to say, like, oh, it's a vintage one. We've been holding on to them. I was like, for fucking what?
Yeah, I have another one that says, we stand with the WGA, which is very confusing.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like I'm from some other organization that's like, and also us nurses.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. It's like a WGA strike shirt from when they all left their agents, I guess.
They had shirts for that?
I guess so. Huh. Yeah. This one actually does breathe. So like at some point they did have it dialed in and then they forgot their way.
I was super pumped to wear this shirt today because another part of my strike update. Jennifer Bakes is a bake shop on Pico and they're giving 15% off if you are a striking member of either Writers Guild or Actors Guild. She was so excited to see my shirt. She said, 15% off. I support you. Good. Go strikers. Her grandfather was one of the
Jason
founding.
Biggs.
Yeah. Was one of the founding members of our union, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, she was saying like, everybody in my whole family is different members of unions. I'm familiar with the strike and
good.
I support you. 15% off.
Wonderful.
For your, my vegan bacon and avocado sandwich.
Okay. That's good news.
You were.
I don't know. It's an ad. What do you want me? I'm not getting excited about it.
I've never seen you more ready for a story to end.
let's do our show. Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
Okay, so Batman chose bats. Very into bats. Like has an interesting and like but definite relationship with bats.
Sure.
There are a lot of antagonists, like in the first Batman, to Joker, he falls in chemicals and then like falls in love with chemicals, like wants to use them constantly. The Lizard, was that his name? The Lizman? The Lizard? What's the Spider-Man Lizard name?
Lizard.
Yeah, Lizard. Lizard's very into lizards.
I can't wait until this becomes a question.
Yeah. Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider, gave him all his powers. He owes everything to it.
Right.
Couldn't care less about spiders. Completely ambivalent to spiders, it seems. Is there any point in the comics where like he's like, ushering one out of his house in a glass jar or anything like that, or like he cares about them in any capacity?
Not that I know of. No, not to my knowledge.
He couldn't care fucking less about spiders.
Sure.
Feels like a real missed opportunity. The only reason I think of this is that my daughter has a Spider-Man costume now that she wears just about every morning. We go through about 3 outfit changes even before school. And she wears Spider-Man, and then she insists that we call Spider-Man when we have a web in the house.
Okay.
So that Spider-Man can come and shoo away the web and clear it out. And I'm like, yeah, that makes more sense. Like, either he hates spiders or he loves spiders. But his relationship to spiders ends at the point where he got bit, and then it's just like, and fuck off. I don't care about spiders after that.
Yeah. I mean, he shoots web.
Yeah, he made webbing. Also a weird choice, like, because he didn't have to embrace that element of the spiderhood.
Right, because there's no, until he called himself Spider-Man and put on the costume and, like, made web shooters, no one would have made that comparison. He's been like, I'm super fucking strong, and I can see a little bit into the future with my sensing abilities, and I can stick to walls.
Yeah.
You know, like a spider.
Everyone's like, I don't know.
You could have been
that.
Anything you wanted.
Yeah. But,
and you were super into photography. You could be like a photography-based crime fighter if you wanted. That's your thing. He didn't get science.
Yeah, there was no rough draft. It was just like the first idea was the best idea as far as he was concerned.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'll go with spiders. But also, if you're going to do that, then like steer into the skid a little bit and also embrace spiderhood. Like embrace like your fellow spiders. See if maybe you could summon some.
It is the weirder thing about the Spider-Man world is how many other spider things sprang up around him. Like there's Madame Web and there's Spider-Woman and Spider-Girl and just like all like the villains didn't need to join in on this delusion. Like they there are other kinds of things to be.
I don't know how did they get their powers, or do they have powers?
I don't know.
It is really funny that they were like, he's doing a spider thing. Well, we could all do spider things. That would be fine.
I'm going to be impressively right, and then I'm going to be kind of delusional about this. When Spider-Man first showed up in Amazing Fantasy 15 as like a side character for the Fantastic Four.
Holy shit. Okay.
I think this is where I'm speculating. I think it was just a throwaway thing because it was like Ben Grimm as the Thing is like trying to solve some kind of mystery, and he's like going around town talking to different people. And one of the people that he talks to try to get information is Spider-Man in like one panel thing. And I really think it was just the writers of that comic just being like, there's a million different fucking kinds of superhero now. There's like, I got to talk to Mole Man and Owl Person and Spider-Man and this guy. And for some reason that like the name Spider-Man and the design of this, they're like, well, let's just like pluck this guy out and give him his own story. Why do we call him Spider-Man? Maybe he got bit by a spider. Why doesn't this costume have like
eight legs
or something? Like, because we already fucking drew it and he looks like this. Just shut up. He's red and blue like spiders are.
He can see in the future like a spider. Is he poisonous? No! He's not a spider. You have other people in that universe, like Ant-Man, where it's like, it's clear where like, once they discovered like, oh fuck, we could do insects as well. that they're like all these guys who are suddenly Blue Beetle and stuff. And they never talk about that either. Like Ant-Man and Spider-Man don't have like this side conversations where like, you chose ants, huh?
Yeah.
That's a cool one. Like ants is good. Ants is good because you're super strong.
I
should have done ants.
Nah, I've been Spider-Man for too long now. I can't be Ant-Man now.
Can I? I can't, right?
Yeah.
I can't. You tell me.
I like when, it was kind of a winking moment that I normally hate in these movies, but when in Avengers Infinity War, the Hulk comes back after being in space for years, and someone mentions Ant-Man or Spider-Man, and he goes, there's an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man? And he's like, yeah, that's the right reaction. That's what we'd all be saying.
That's what we're all thinking. Yeah. I love that. Yes. There should be more of that. More of those conversations between them where like, oh, you did a little thing too. A exoskeleton thing. That's a good choice.
Especially because Ant-Man, to my knowledge, has never in the Marvel Cinematic Universe hid his identity. Like protecting his identity, keeping it secret, was never a stressor for him. It was not part of his whole journey. He writes a book in Ant-Man 3 about being Ant-Man. And we haven't seen it, but in the Marvel Universe, he hosts a podcast and talks about superhero stuff. So I don't know why he wasn't just like, it's me, Scott. And sometimes I'm tiny and sometimes I'm big.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man putting on a mask and becoming Spider-Man makes sense. He's trying to keep his identity secret. It doesn't make any sense at all for Scott Lang to just like, and now you call me Ant-Man. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm your friend. I know you're Scott still.
Right.
And like, Scott Lang is cooler sounding than Ant-Man.
Honestly, it's a better name. It's easier to shout.
Yeah.
You don't feel as silly when you're like, help me, Ant-Man. I also think about like Iron Man it's just tribute to the very first iron suit that he made, which was iron.
Yeah.
After that, it's all adamantium or something, right? It's like some other more lightweight thing that can fly around.
Yeah, I mean by the end of his run in Marvel, his suit is all nanotech.
So at that point, I wonder if he's just like keeping one little piece iron to like as like an homage to like I was an Iron Man once. Like it's cooler. I guess it's because when you when they invented Iron Man. That's kind of like the Iron Age, right? Like, that's where we were as far as, like, the strongest stuff.
Sure. I think now I'm trying to remember if the song Iron Man exists in the MCU.
They play it in the very first Iron Man, but I don't know that it's, like...
I don't know that the characters hear it.
It happens in when he's in the KO, I think. Yeah. So I don't think he's hearing it.
And I wonder if they... Was that song about Iron Man?
Now I'm going through the lyrics. All I know is
I am Iron Man. Yeah.
I am Iron Man, doing all the things that an iron can.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my clothes and the wrinkles out. I am Iron Man.
Fell apart at the end. Really strong start, though.
It was going somewhere, and then, it's just, yeah. I need more time.
Yeah. I guess we'll never know if that song exists in the universe, and if it does, what questions
it answers.
Like, what comes first?
Well, in our universe, you were asking as well. I don't know that it, yeah, truly, like, in our universe, if that's based on the Iron Man, I assume it's probably not. Oh, Gabe, our producer, is saying, it's not
based on Iron Man?
No.
So that's just Ozzy Osbourne is like, also thinks Iron Man is a cool thing to be?
A man.
What's the matter with you fucking people? It's stupid.
It's a sci-fi time travel adventure.
That's interesting because...
So is Iron Man.
You said you had a question for me about time travel.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've gotten to it yet.
Oh, we have not. Oh, sorry. I have another question. Dan.
I had a question about time travel. Batman likes bats, right?
Another time travel question.
Uh-huh.
What? No, another quick question. Not a time travel question. Jesus Christ. Okay, quick question. Let's say that time travel... This is a hypothetical.
Okay.
Let's say time travel existed. But it's like you didn't actually get to choose where you're going back to. You just get like a window of time. Mm-hmm. You move back to in your own life. Like you have the opportunity to go back for, let's say, 15 minutes mm-hmm. to some point in your own life, but you can't like pick the destination. You can land kind of close to it. No, I'm going to change it. Let's say you can go back to 15 minutes mm-hmm. but you have to like, you get to pick it, but it's just like one time. It's a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. The way I see it, there are a couple different options. The ones that I think everybody explores are you go back and you change something for yourself. Like you change something to make your life better or like something that you deeply regret. Mm-hmm. The other option is you go back and you relive something great. Like some moment that was like meant a lot to you. It was seminal, and you could go back and have that experience again. But there's like a third option, I think, which is somebody in your close enough circle that you were in proximity to at one point in your life, you saw something either catastrophic happen to them or like changed the trajectory of their life, or you were responsible for doing some damage to somebody, and you could go back and like fix that. What would you choose to do? And I don't think the actual event is super important. I think it's like, says more about you, like what you choose. I'll give you my answer. I think so. For a good portion of my life, I would have gone back and just relived moments. I would have gone back and been like, this was a really cool, fun thing that I loved. And I would go back and do that.
Immediately, of your three, the janky ass time travel service that you run.
Yes.
This imperfect business that you've started. Of the three things the three options that you've laid out, that is the one that not for a second did I think I'm going to go back and relive.
You've watched About Time. There's the moment where Bill Nighy comes back and plays ping pong with his son.
Mm-hmm.
That's like,
yeah, I guess I would time travel back to the first time I saw that movie. You're right.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was a good experience.
Yeah.
He goes back just to like relive these moments with his mm-hmm. with his child. I get that. That's what I would think I would have chosen because I'm also deeply selfish. And of the things that I like lie in bed and think about at night where I'm like, oh, I fucked that up throughout my life, none of them are so severe that I'm like, I think I would go back and change it. Also, I'm very afraid of the fact that if I change things that I fuck everything up.
Right. I think about that too. Like every time I think about time travel, traveling into my own body or like visiting my past self, it's never anything super high stakes, or like very formative. Partly because I'm really happy with who I am and how I turned out and how my life has turned out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fuck with that. But like the things that I would change would be have more fun in high school, you know, like okay. to give my younger self advice. It would be either like, don't take this as seriously as you're taking it,
mm-hmm.
or relevant to the conversation we were having earlier, like invest in a hobby now. Because I'm an idiot, I wouldn't say invest in Apple now or anything like that. I would be like, learn another instrument.
Surfing.
Yeah, try to surf or like get into, especially if I was younger, get more serious about running now or yeah. like develop healthy exercise habits now.
Mm-hmm.
That'll pay off way better than stocks. Definitely still go to school and be an English major with a concentration on creative writing and a music minor. Definitely still do that. Don't learn business.
But you'll be Don't rich learn in character. Coding. Yeah.
Learn to surf. Bye.
I think I would go back and like relive like good fun experiences. I'm too scared to change my own stuff. But as a parent now, like it's like a no-brainer that it would be the third option. Like that I would go back and just like these little tiny moments where I'm like, I think I really fucked that up. Like for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I would go back and just change those. There was a night, my son will just ask me to make up stories. And generally the stories can be kind of like, I've got a lot of license. I can run with like dark stories and mm-hmm. like horror or sad stories. So like we'll be walking to school and he'll be like, will you tell me a story about lighthouses? And I'm like, yeah. And I'll be able to tell him like the story about this guy who witnesses, like he's staying in a lighthouse and he witnesses like a sea monster like pull a ship under, but he can mm-hmm. only see it in like these, like the light as it goes past, like varying moments, and he can't do anything about it.
You are wasting this on your son. That's cool.
And that's the thing is like, as I'm telling it, I'm like, this is going good. But that's so like, I feel like I'm not curbing myself as I'm telling a story. I just want telling something that I enjoy too.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the tub and he's like asking me to tell him a story. And I start telling the story about robots that ended up being a short story I did for Michael Swaim on his podcast, Tales from the Pit, which is a very good podcast about depression and stuff. And the reason I knew it was a very sad story was because as I'm like making it up and telling it to my son just all of a sudden starts crying. And I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, no. And I was like, oh, I went too far. Like I gave him it. The general premise of it was that there was like a we discovered like this new battery. It's like this kinetic heart that we can put in robots. And like as long as they continue like their singular motion that they're designed for, like it recharges. But if they do anything outside of that, then they lose a unit of life for everything else they do. So like these more sophisticated robots, like there is no room for like joy or discovery or anything, like curiosity or anything, because each time that they're taking time away from their one design task is like it's pulling life off the end of their mm-hmm. existence. And so when I'm like, there's no, like, if they want to experience anything else, they die a little. And he just cried. And I was like, oh, that really touched you in a way that, like, that you probably don't understand and I don't totally understand.
Right.
And I'm so sorry. And then he kept talking about the robot story. Like, at nights, he would be like, I'm thinking of the robots again. And I was like, it was going to get better. Like it was going to, that was the beginning. That's the conflict. And then they figure it out and they figured out that they can do the opposite. That like they can make their primary program just exploratory.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're not beholden to a task at all. But like, it was too late. Just the idea of this was just like too much for him. And it was too early. And I would love to just go back and like not do that. Like take that story away from his brain so that he can deal with it later. Things like that.
That's very sweet. I don't think I have anything like that at all. Well,
did you kill anyone?
No. This is not a good story. In that,
well, if there are things we're going to change, they rarely are.
It looks it is good for me to tell it.
We're friends. You can tell me.
I want everyone to know that things worked out and no one's mad at me. And so you shouldn't be either. When I was a senior in high school, I'm not gonna use any real names here.
Yeah.
People were started saying, I heard you're going to prom with Ashley.
Okay.
And I said, no, I'm not. I don't know who I'm going to prom with yet. And they're like, well, Ashley thinks you're taking her to prom. I'm like, you have that mistaken. We're going to clear this up. And then I heard from more and more people that Ashley was going around telling people that I'd invited her to prom. And I'm like, oh, Ashley's crazy. She wasn't even in our grade. This is I got to get ahead of this. I don't know what this is. I did not ask Ashley to prom. I don't want to go to prom with Ashley. I confronted her and I was like, are you telling people that we're going to prom together? And she was like, yeah. Like, stop that. Don't do that. Like, I'm really sorry, but we're not going to prom together. And she was just like very strange. Like, okay, I thought we were, but we don't have to.
That's wild.
I'll stop telling people that, but I thought we were. I was like, yeah, no, stop it, please. I wasn't calling her crazy to her face, but I was like, what an unstable person. And I'm glad she's going to stop telling people this crazy thing. We weren't like enemies. We were friends.
Yeah. Is she younger or older?
She was younger.
Okay.
Everything was fine. I went to prom with a good friend of mine. We all had a lovely prom. It's prom. Who gives a shit?
Well, me, I never had one. I care deeply. I'm very curious about proms.
Years and years later, I think I was already living in Los Angeles at the time. And for no clear reason, a thing appeared in my brain and I go, oh, I did ask Ashley to prom.
Holy shit. Oh,
I forgot that I did it.
Oh, damn.
I know.
Ouch,
and wasn't she cool about it?
Oh my God. And she didn't. But, like, she didn't try to set the record straight in that moment either, where she was like, remember, we were in your car and you asked me?
No, like, she all she did was say, like, I thought we were going to prom together, but it's okay if we're not, but I thought we were.
And you're,
I had this serious moment in high school where I'm like, I gotta let this crazy person down gently, and I gotta be very firm about what's going on and how what she's doing is not okay.
Yeah.
And like, truly, I swear to God, there wasn't even, like, a faint memory of it at the time. Like, I was so convinced in high school that this girl was running around telling crazy stories. And then at 23 years old, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I did. I did it because I thought it would be fun to go to prom with her. And then I Men in Black memoried myself.
That's so uncomfortable.
I know. I would, and like, she is fine now. We're both fine.
Have you
now.
Checked
Everything's
in with
fine.
Her since then?
Not about that. I think we did talk about that eventually when I was back in Jersey. I was just like, hey, this doesn't matter, but I want you to know you were right. And I just completely fucking forgot.
That sounds like a lie.
I know.
I wonder, I mean, I don't want to give you too much credit or this experience, too much credit, but like, I wonder if you changed like the way that she interacts with men in any capacity where it was like, this guy just gaslit me like completely. Just completely asked me to prom and then was like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I did not ask you to prom. Stop telling everyone we're going to prom.
She was so remarkably cool about an awful thing that I did.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, what a good foundation she had. I want to do that for my kids. Not what you did to them.
No.
What her parents did for her that she was so cool and like that was just like fell off of her like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Boy, Dan, that is a good one. You absolutely should go back and change that. Thank you for coming to my janky ass time travel service. This
you
is
got
a
it, man.
Worthy cause. I'm gonna let you have it for 15% off.
Yeah, I would be in a really tough spot because you said it's not precise. I can't go exactly where I want to go.
Yeah,
so I could just get sent to senior year of high school, and I won't know if it's before or after I invited her to prom the first time.
Yeah, but you can at least fix it a little bit. Like, you could do some damage control.
I don't know. If it's in, like, the period in between inviting her and forgetting, I would time travel back to 17-year-old Daniel and be like, listen, you either take her to prom or you just do it again. Just, like, if you really don't want to go,
it doesn't
pretend
matter.
You never invited
you
her.
You ended up having a great time anyway, but I don't know. You should at least tell her. The reason I ask is that or like that this question even came up in the first place was I started doing this new thing where I get frustrated with my kids all the time.
Sure.
Because they're kids.
They ruin your story.
Yeah. And they just take so much. Just eating away at your substance. Yeah. I mean, look at me. I've aged like a wartime president. It's just like, it just drains.
Someone's been reading the comments.
Throughout your day, like they need your attention so much and like your focus. And it's not in an emergency sort of situation. It's just like they want it. And mm-hmm. you have to like give them solid answers to questions that they don't actually care. They're like not asking because they want to know the answer to. They're just asking because they're like, hey, focus on me. Focus on me. And so I occasionally lose my temper and I will yell at my children. And then I always feel bad afterwards. And I started doing this thing where I pretend that I'm gone back, that I'm like 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've gone back in time and it's not precise. Like I can't pick where I'm going back to. I just get to go back and experience like a little chunk of time from my past. And I've come back and landed right here. And then I'm way calmer. I'm so much nicer to my children in those moments where like I start to like feeling a bubble up. If I pretend that like I just got here and I'm like, oh, I get to see you again at 7 years old or at three mm-hmm. years old. This is great. And also knowing they're going to be fine. Like the things that I'm trying to curb right now and the reasons that I get upset with them and like, you're not listening to me. You have to learn how to listen. Like those kinds of things don't totally matter because they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And so I can come back and just like indulge in the moment as opposed to feel like I need to be a parent in the moment. And I'm like, I'm a way better parent because of it. Like in those moments, I can calm down immediately.
Yeah. That's a really good strategy.
Yeah.
Do you ever do it, for things that don't involve your kids? Any other little like mental time travel stuff to make you enjoy a thing better?
No, I do a much darker thing, which is I pretend that I'm going to kill myself. if I'm just sort of like generally not feeling good, if I'm like, I'm not actually ever going to do it, by the way. These are not real ideations. Mm-hmm. I just think like, and tomorrow I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the moment a lot more, or like I'm much more willing to just let things go. Like that nothing really matters because I should be enjoying these moments. Yeah. I should be happy. And I should be living in this present. And I only can do that if I feel like there's a finite end to it. And generally I have a hard time understanding the idea that there is an end. Mm-hmm. So I have to like put a date on it, a hard date, and it has to be soon. And then I will enjoy moments a lot more.
Yeah.
That's like a dark way to do it, but it is a thing I do.
I think a lot about a story from this book I've mentioned before. What is it called? The book?
Whoa. A book you mentioned before. Who wrote it? Whoa.
This is new for you. It was that book about like time management for your life. It was like 4,000 weeks or something like that. Some amount of weeks. Oh, boy. Mm, anyway, it's a book about being present and living a better life. And the story that someone gives in it talks about a friend of theirs who passed away, and their friend Robert who died. And it's something that they think about whenever they're in traffic and they're like really stressed or angry about traffic. They think about Robert would give anything to feel
that moment
being stuck in traffic right now. And that's what I think about in like any unpleasant moment, like generally traffic.
Yeah.
Just thinking like, I get to feel being in traffic right now. I get to experience being in traffic right now. And if I was dead, I wouldn't. Or think about someone who did pass away and like, I bet they'd be, if they're in the afterlife and they were given the trade, would you like to sit in traffic? You have 2 hours on Earth. I'm going to put you in traffic, or you don't get to go back to Earth. I'm sure like everyone would like, yeah, I'll take that. Like, let me roll the window down and smell the air and feel heat and all that stuff.
I mean, it's a tough moment to come back to, but
I mean, it sucks that like heaven is as janky and unreliable as your time travel service. it could be anything, but it's still St. Peter's. Like, we can put you in Queens on the bridge for a couple hours. It's rush hour right now. Take it or leave it, man.
That's what we got.
And you're running out of gas and you're stressed about it.
Well, I occupied this episode with a bunch of questions, Dan. I'm sorry, but
it's okay. Oh, it's not real.
No. Well, don't ruin the illusion for everyone at home. This is a very well lit, lots of windows room. Mm-hmm. The plants do great here.
Yeah.
They love it. We should end this.
Yeah. I trust you. You can do it.
Okay, here we go. Thank you for watching. Also, if you aren't watching and you happen to be listening to this episode, thank you for doing that instead. We really had a hard time figuring out what to do with our hands. You're probably better off just having listened to it. You can follow Daniel on Twitter. No.
Well, I don't know about that. If you're only listening and you're not watching, you're missing... I do like a lot of like fun looking at the camera bits.
That's
like
true.
Just doing like my Jim Halpert bullshit. Whenever I'm not talking, I'm finding some business. You're missing out on a lot. You're also
Hold on. When you're not talking, I'm talking, and you're just like, all you're doing is like, now what would be a fun thing for me to do?
That's correct.
Checking my camera. Oh, he's still going. I can't believe it. This is amazing.
So you can see all that fun bits, and also like Soren mentioned, not knowing what to do with our hands. I get pretty weird with it. I don't know what I'm doing, but sometimes I'll notice that I'm like trying to rip skin off my thumb. I'm like, oh no, they can see that.
So go, maybe do go watch this episode. You can follow Daniel on X at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me on X at @Soren_LTD.
It's so funny that he changed Twitter to X for all the people who have like tweet in their username, like Dylan tweets, and all those people who are just like, what the fuck now?
Now I gotta, damn it. You can also email us at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. And if you like our theme song, that's by Me Rex, and you can find their music on Spotify or anywhere, but you can also find their full albums at merex.bandcamp.com. We have a sound engineer and editor and producer named Gabe Harder, who's wonderful. He's also doing all of the video for these and
he's
the lighting.
He's losing energy, folks.
And everything. and we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/quickquestion. Surely there's something else. The YouTube. Fucking, you're watching this. I'm not going to give you the YouTube. That's going to be it. I'm done.
Great.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? How did I be remembered? What's it up to? Friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.